Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new to this channel, where have you been? But subscribe, comment, like on these videos, help push our videos through onto the YouTube algorithm. We are well into our content for the season now. We're plowing through it. We've got all our different concepts that are coming each week. Match preview, predicted lineups, match reactions, fan cams, player ratings. We've got everything going on the website as well. So we're churning out the content and we just ask for you to subscribe. We are now over 8,000 subscribers as we speak. Well on the road to 9,000 now. So with your support, just click that subscribe button and you will help us grow. Next up, we have Crystal Palace away on Saturday. I'm looking forward to the game. Ryan, how are you feeling about it?
Yes, still got the start of the season buzz. So, yeah, very much looking forward to this one. I've seen highlights of both Palace's game and, you know, it's a tough start for them. Arsenal at home, they're rejuvenated, aren't they, Arsenal? They're got the bit between their teeth and obviously Liverpool runners-up last season going away there. So, no doubt they penciled this fixture in as one. For their first 3 points of the season. So they'll be looking to have a real good go at us. They've got some good players, haven't they? I think the signing of Eze sort of changed their philosophy on the team. You know, they were signing the likes of Townsend and they had experienced guys on frees, but then that signing of Eze completely out of nowhere, really, not really to their style, just sort of lifted a stagnant team, really. And he's been followed by Elise and obviously they had Gallagher last season. It's starting to look like a youthful, exciting outfit. Zaha, for all his petulance, he's still a dangerous player, isn't he? And he looks a lot more rounded now. He looks like a proper Premier League player with all the attributes. Anderson, been quite impressed with his couple of performances. The diagonal balls he were playing out of defence in the Arsenal game was sublime. And then obviously yesterday he absolutely rattled Nunes, didn't he? I don't know whether you've seen the highlights of him pecking at him all game. So we don't want to get involved in any of that. Obviously Nunes couldn't keep his cool. And for £85 million he's got a decent headbutt. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Palace have mixed it up a bit tactically-wise, haven't they? They went to three at the back yesterday to try and hit Liverpool on the counter, but I think they'll be a bit more attacking against us. You know, I can't see them playing 3-5 at the back. I think they'll resort back to the back four and have a go at us. And hopefully we can turn up like we did at Selhurst last season and grab those 3 points, please.
Justin, how are you feeling?
I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. I think Palace are a very good outfit now. I was a little bit sceptical last year when they hired Patrick Vieira. I thought, you know, after only managing really in America and a few, I think, youth team at City, I wasn't sure whether he could make the step up. But to be fair, he's made the step up with consummate ease, I would say. He's improved them dramatically. They're now a very, very well-drilled outfit. Their recruitment is very good, as Ryan's just alluded to there. That you know, they sell players for the right at the right time as well, for the right amount, and then they recruit well to replace those players. So they are very comfortable now, Premier League outfit. With eyes, I would think, very similar to us in trying to get in that top half, I would say, this season. Just looking through the squad then, when you was talking, Ryan, you know, they've signed Sam Johnston, they've got Jack Butland, they've got, you know, good keepers, they've got depth at the back, Ward, Mitchell, Tompkins, Gay, Anderson, Klein, midfield, they've got good holding players, Mijatovic, Zaha, Schlupp, MacArthur, Will Hughes, and then they've got, you know, a couple of decent forwards, Ayew and Edouard, you know, can score goals. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a tough afternoon for us. But, you know, if we can raise the levels to the Everton performance, I think we'd probably have to go up a little bit from that. And with the right team selection, I think we can get there and really give them a good game with a, you know, positive outlook after getting 3 points at home. We've got to be looking there to you know, stamp our authority now in the league and try and get at least a point at Palace, and if not all three.
Positive vibes only. Shame we're going to be wearing that away kit, that blue away kit. Bad vibes in that Landry. Oh, my days.
Do we know who the match officials are yet? Surely it can't be Kevin Friend. Oh, he's retired anyway.
Yeah, definitely. So our head-to-head in the Premier League, big game, this is really. Palace win 7, Villa win 7, draw 6. Something's got to give.
Even, isn't it? That's very even.
It is pretty, pretty even. So what I want to do, I want to have a little look at Palace, where their threats lie, and then we'll delve into how we feel like the game is going to unfold. So let's have a little look then. So what we got on the screen now, I didn't really want to give you the starting lineup against Liverpool because, you know, that like Ryan alluded to, they played sort of like 5 at the back. I'd imagine they'd go to more of the same shape as what they had against Arsenal at home against Aston Villa. So, you know, you've got Guaita in goal, Klein, Anderson, Gueye, Mitchell, Decore, which is the new signing, Shulup, Ayew, Eze, Zaha and Edouard. And if we have a look at the shape of their team, this was against Liverpool, pretty compact. They played really well, caught them on the break. And Zaha was just lethal on that counter. He was absolutely magnificent at Anfield. Against Liverpool, their attacks came through the right-hand side, whereas against Arsenal, their attacks mainly came through the left-hand side. So this was their average position against Arsenal, which was pretty compact, pretty organised. And I want to talk to you about Anderson, because Anderson, for me, is the threat. And I know this might sound a little bit random, being that he's a centre-back, because he is integral to the way they play, pinging those balls, like Ryan said. His accuracy of those balls are absolutely brilliant, and it's important that I feel like Watkins is cutting off the ball into Anderson. So that's one of the big things that I think is how we're going to stifle Palace, is if we stop Anderson playing with the ball. Some of Anderson's stats so far, he's got the highest pass completion out of the whole of the Crystal Palace side in 109. He's won the most aerial battles in the Palace side, 6. He's had the most clearances in 19 this season out of the Palace side. And he's also made the most interceptions for Palace in 5. So he is the most crucial player to getting Palace ticking. And I think, like Ryan said as well, Zaha is banging for me. He looks lethal in front of goal. But I think it's going to be a tale of two sides, isn't it? Because on the left-hand side, I'd say that's where Palace are strongest, with Mitchell and Zaha. And then I feel like on our right, on our left-hand side, in Digne, maybe Buendia and Watkins, they can really get at Klein and Ayew. So those battles, left side, right side of both sides, I think it's going to be really interesting to see who comes out on top. And I think, yeah, the midfield battle is going to be really important. It always is in the Premier League, isn't it? If you can get a foothold and start winning that battle, you know, we want McGinn to have a really good game. And I think it was probably one of our better away performances as well last season when we won 2-1. So it's going to be a difficult game. But I think if we can stop Anderson from playing, we can stop the balls into Zaha. Eze is going to be a danger as well. So yeah, that's how I feel like we beat him. Ryan, what are you saying?
Yeah, in total agreement. That out ball from Anderson to Zaha, it was pinpoint every time, and Zaha was hugging that touchline. And the graphics you were showing there from the Arsenal game, it's like that front three were high, weren't they? And if you're looking to get in behind Aston Villa, where are you going to go? Behind the fullbacks at Bomman. So, yeah, we do have to be careful about that. And like you say, Watkins just needs to sit on him, doesn't he? He needs to sit on him. Virtually man-mark him, just cut that out, because them balls can't hurt you if they get cut out from the off. So that is
and
one way.
And he rattled that Diaz, didn't he? Because you know that clip that's going around on social media of like the whole game, like they're pushing each other, they're tripping each other up. And that Nunes nutted him twice, didn't he, really? Because
yeah,
it was that
yeah.
back one that he did. And then he just absolutely rattled him, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a few elbows and everything. That, you know, that clip was about 2 minutes long, wasn't it? It was all game, and he finally snapped in style. He missed the United game now, but Eze is a big threat, I think, as well. You know, him and it'd be a good matchup between him and Kamara. Kamara's really got to stop him. Eze sort of like burst onto the scene, didn't he? Then he got that Achilles injury and that sort of curtailed his season. And he didn't really get going under Vieira, but he started this season like banging form pre-season as well. And he's a good carrier of the ball and he's through balls as well. So Kamara really has got to be on his game again, just to cut that threat out as well.
Yeah, Justin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just looking at all that very interesting tactical analysis from you, Luca.
To be fair, what I will point out, sorry, is I do feel like I'm reading the game a little bit better these days. It does, I don't know
to be honest,
why.
I tell you, doing these definitely gives you, especially those the average positions, it gives you a real good insight into how teams set up because that's over a whole game. So yeah, you can set up a team as much as you want at the start, so everybody knows the formation. But it's how it looks after 90 minutes that tells you how well drilled the team is. That's a good indicator of how tactically well drilled and how good the team are at implementing what the manager wants them to do. And that gives you a really good insight.
And then I'll tell you what, we've all been watching football for years and years, haven't we? We've been following the Villa for years. But now, the data that you can get online and what you can see on social media and what's shared, and you know, there's lots of these tactics pages in there that share all this. And you know, the knowledge is there. It's just that sort of data and information extracts it out of you, and you can just you can clearly read it. So it is so good, you know, how analysed the game is now from the first minute to the off, isn't it?
Yeah. I agree. I think looking at what you've sort of highlighted there, I think the high press is in order, really. I think, you know, we need to make sure we're right on them all game, which means that Kamara's got to press up, push this. And I want to see, and I keep saying it, I want to see the midfield three being tight. I don't want to see him going wide. I want to see that middle of the park being dominated by McGinn, Louise, Ramsey, whoever it is, and Kamara, because it's imperative. If we do switch back to, which I think we may do on Saturday, switch back to one up front, then you can almost sort of spread whoever it is, Coutinho, Buendia and Bailey, whoever is the two out of three that play there. Or you could even drop Watkins in, couldn't you, and play there. Whoever is there, they can almost help out McGinn and Ramsey, whoever is in the eights, to press high, and like you say, keep, and then Watkins can just basically sit on the centre half all game, and the two tens, if that's going to be that way, can just push on whoever else is up top and press them right back in their own half and put the pressure back on them. And the other thing I've wrote down is get into Zaha, do to Zaha what he did last night and got him sent off, because he gets rattled. He does get rattled. Just, you know, little niggles, because he gets annoyed and he gets, yes, there's always that danger of winding up too much and he's literally well up for the game. But I think if you get into him, you can get at him. But yeah, high press definitely, and the midfield being really tight and not spreading and giving them the ability just to run straight through us, especially if they're going to whack in these long balls all the time, because the midfield have got to be on them.
Yeah. Definitely. So it's going to be an interesting one today. I'm really, to be fair, I enjoy watching any football match, but Palace, I'm watching them with, you know, interest. They are interesting to watch as well. So, looking forward to it. So you're saying you reckon we're going 2-10s then, Justin?
I think, as I said last week, and I sort of, when we did our predicted lineup for Everton, I dropped in at the last minute that there could be a change to two up front. And the reason I gave to that was because they play a back five and two forwards can keep three centre-halves more occupied. And I don't think Palace will do that. I think, obviously, they're going to play a back four. So you can afford then to play one up top and the two in behind can become more, I don't want them to drop too deep, but that, you know, that hopefully they can pick up that area between the forwards and the midfielders. There's a lot of space there to be had, and there's a lot of space to exploit, rather than playing two up top all game and sort of trying to get the ball into them all the time. I think it's going to be a real tactical game on Saturday. I think it's going to be a tight affair. I think we're going to have to really work hard to break them down because they're well drilled. You know, although Liverpool went down to 10 last night, they were battering them even in the second half when they had 10 men, and they were so well drilled, Palace. They didn't hardly give anything away, even when they was under extreme pressure. So, he's going to be a tough nut to crack at Palace. You know, gone in the days of going to Palace was, you know, we'll get 3 points there. That's not the case now. They're a decent side with some very, very good players that can hurt you. So we've got to be careful that we don't leave the back door open, as always. And I am still a little bit concerned about the fullbacks bombing on, especially away from home and leaving them spaces in behind, like Ryan said, them long diagonals. You know, if you're caught on the hop, if Cash and Dean are too far up front and you've got Elise or Zaha or Eze, you know, just give them 2 yards of space and that ball over the top, and the centre halves are in big trouble then, aren't they? So we've got to be very careful, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. So that'll round up our sort of match preview, as we shall speak. But the transfer rumours are hotting up a little bit. The centre-back rumours, you know, this Chelsea sort of fan channel said that we were linked with Hudson-Odoi. It's us or Arsenal. So, Ryan, what's your vibe? Because we haven't heard your vibe on sort of like the centre-back and the rumours at the minute. So, do you feel like we'll go back in for another centre-back, or do you think it's see how the market goes?
I think it depends if the right deal becomes available. I wouldn't see us going out and spending 30 million on another defender. Obviously, in the summer, Gerrard identified that as a position he wanted to strengthen. Got in there early. We'd done it. Oh, so unlucky. So unlucky. I don't know what it is with us and Brazilians at the minute after Wesley done his injury as well. But I can't really see us dipping in. I think the wage bill at the minute is hampering us making any more signings. Feel like we need to get the likes of Sanson and Traore and Al-Ghazi off the books before more come in. Even the Kamba, you know, he's not getting in the squad at the minute. But one thing I know about these owners and the way we've acted over the last 4 years is that we always do seem to have a plan. So there will be players that have been scouted, you know, in the possibility that we never got Carla. So I'm guessing there's, you know, unless they've moved on or whatever, I'm guessing there's still targets there. And we've got like transfer scouting teams, haven't we? There's such an infrastructure in the club. So, you know, we're following loads of players. And at the minute... Hey,
we've got a transfer hub. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't even need to do anything. Yeah. What's then, this all fine?
Exactly, yeah. I'm sure Lang's subscribed anyway. But
I am.
But yeah, like I say, I'm sure if the right person becomes available at the right price, then we could act. But I don't know. I feel like we've still got enough cover there. Yes, it hasn't improved from last season, but the coaching of the players could improve. Konza was pretty average last season. He could improve. Chambers hasn't really put a foot wrong. You know, he could come in and still do a job and improve on last season. Now he's a bit more settled. He had a really good pre-season. Obviously, House is still in the background. I think it's a bit too soon for Feeney. I think you've already said before on the transfer hub and the last episode about maybe a number eight will be more will be more pressing than getting another centre half. I think we're a little bit light there in the number eight, especially if we lose like a McGinn or Luiz don't sign a contract. I guess he won't play if he doesn't commit. So, yeah, still, I'll back the club. I back what we're doing. I think there'll be a plan. So I'm remaining calm at the minute. You know, if we head into the end of the transfer window as we are, then I'm calm because I know come January and if there's someone unsettled, we strike, don't we? We strike, we have our targets. And if someone comes unsettled, someone comes available, like Luca Dean only come available for about a week, then he had a row with Benitez, come available, snapped him up. Next thing you know, Benitez has got the sack. So we are on it, and I do trust the owners and I do trust Lang. So I back us to get it right. And if Gerrard thinks we need players, I think we will get them.
Do you know what NSWE haven't done yet? They haven't dropped a bomb on deadline day, have they? Because no, all our
we haven't
dealings,
done that for ages, to be fair.
All our dealings have been very assured, very like measured, and we haven't had to do anything. But you never know; there might be a big one dropping on deadline day. And I'm not talking like a basement barrel Tom Carroll or something. I'm talking it could be something big. Do you know what I mean? Where we just like. There you go. Like, take it or leave it. We'll offer this, and that's it.
Do you want to know what my favourite transfer would be? Signing right now.
Go on then.
An extra 200 bar staff to fill them bars at Villa Park. That would be a top class signing for me. I'd be happy with that. Get that one done, Lang.
I actually think I've changed my mind a little bit. I think we'll get a lone defender. I think we'll get a lone defender from somewhere, possibly from Europe. And I think I'm with you, Luke. I can see a last minute deal dropping on our foot, on our lap on deadline day, because that's the day when, the last couple of days is when things start to move. So clubs that are wanting to shift players out that are asking probably silly money for them at the moment are going to want to start panicking. Don't forget, still it doesn't feel like it. It's still the summer transfer window, this is where all the big deals are done, isn't they? You know, January is always a tough month to do business, but this is the month where your big deals get done. So there is still a lot of players that aren't happy at certain clubs that want out, and I think, you know, you'll see some of them starting to move. If Chelsea get another one or two players in, I know they're after that Gordon today. They've dropped a bid in for him from Everton. So could you see the likes of Conor Gallagher becoming surplus requirements?
Well, I mean, the thing is with Chelsea, if they sign that De Jong, then you'd look at like a Conor Gallagher and think, okay, like...
This is what I'm saying. One deal leads to another, doesn't it? There's like a domino effect. And that might take another week to 10 days to feel the effects of that. So we might very well have... I'm not saying we have, but we might very well have made our feelings very well known. Let's say to Conor Gallagher, for argument's sake, we really like him, we like him at Villa, and if there's a deal to be done, we'll let us know. And at the moment, they're probably saying, nothing doing. They suddenly drop a Frankie de Jong from Barca, and that then frees up him, and all of a sudden they're on the blower to our mate, Lang, and you know, do you still fancy him? And then done. Like Ryan says, we don't piss about now. We are banged. Yeah, we'll have him. That's it. So I'm still calm about it all because there's still 3 weeks to go and there's still a lot of deals to be done.
And I think a lot of clubs are still affected by COVID, aren't they? You know, the impact that COVID had that season of money and so. I mean, even Barcelona, look at the state of them. You know, like a Depay or something. If someone offers 20 mil for Depay or something, he's on it. He's going. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now
they're in the state, though, they are.
So. Yeah. The thing is, as well, with us, we've stopped spunking money now, haven't we?
Yeah.
We buy a player because we need a bit of backup or a bit of competition or something, or we buy someone who is better than what we've got now, an upgrade. We're not signing anybody on the same level as what we got because we're utilising the squad well. And I just don't think we'd be rushed and I don't think we'd be pressured. And I think we're spending really well at the minute and we won't panic. We won't go into, oh my God, we need number 8. Let's just get anyone we can. Here's 25 mil. And then 6 months down the line, he's a bag of bollocks. You know what I mean? So I do think that's why I trust what's going on. I'm remaining patient at the minute and I'm trusting in the process and the project.
Do some scouting in Turkey when you're over there, Roy.
See if I can unearth another Alpay.
Yes.
We need a centre-half, don't we?
Yeah, so everyone that's watching or listening, Ryan's going on holiday, so he's going to leave us for about... How long are you leaving us for?
About 3 months,
isn't it? 2 weeks. I missed four games. I missed two home games. Gutted.
Terrible.
Poor organisation, that, isn't it?
That is.
Who booked that?
Someone that's getting the sack. Last chance, no more holidays in season time now, pre-season only.
Cool, right, we'll leave it there then. So we've got a bit in depth on Palace and how we beat them and how we think the game's going, a little bit on transfers. In other news, Gaz Morley is currently top of our fantasy football league. There's around 800 people in that league.
Jesus.
And Up the Villa podcast team is currently 491.
Where are you three?
We did have a good game week two. We had 61 points. That was pretty decent. Gaz Morley had 107 points in game week two. So fair play to you. You are currently top. Thank you for watching. We'll be back for our predicted lineup. That will be out on Thursday. Thank you for watching. Subscribe and Up the Villa. Oh, score predictions. I'm going 1-1.
And mate.
You're going 1-1, Ryan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Justin, what are you going with?
I was going to break the habit of a lifetime today when I was thinking about this score prediction.
You're going to go lose?
No, he did that once and he couldn't live with himself for another.
No, I can't. So I'm going to stick with on the fence. I'm going to go for a 2-2.
I think it'd be a good result for us on the road.
I think so. I think a win, a draw. I mean, there's like two wins and a draw, to be honest, at the first three. But after Bournemouth, if we can, which we did, beat Everton and then not lose away at Palace, that's an okay start.
Yeah. Did someone get the correct prediction on the last game? Did you say 2-1, Justin?
I said 2-0. Oh, no, I said 2-1, didn't I? Because you said 2-0, yeah. So I said 2-1.
First one of the season.
So, yeah, and they haven't got a win yet, have they? So they're still trying to, you know, when you're trying to get your first win and it's just like, until you get that first one.
First goal. First goal Saturday, I think.
Yeah, massive. And your fan base goes into complete meltdown. So, if we can put them under a bit of pressure, get an early goal, I think it'll be all good. So thanks for watching and up the Villa.